becoming comfortable with being uncomfortable, becoming comfortable with letting go of who we thought we were, conditioned to think we were, to now be who we're designed to be really, truly better than we've ever been. So no matter what you've been through, how can you make the learning and the value greater than any cost? And the two key ingredients when I work with myself or somebody else is a willingness that to really become different and better for what you're seeking, and readiness to let go.
I'm proud to share with you Tetragen, which helps you transition to a healthier, happier, and thinner you without cravings or side effects. Our metabolic hormones are the underlying problem that doom every diet and exercise program to fail. They control our metabolism, cravings, how much we eat to feel satiated, blood sugar levels, and even our energy levels. Tetragen is formulated with four clinically proven patented ingredients that help rebalance your metabolic hormones in roughly 15 to 20 days, depending on the amount of weight you want to lose. Once your metabolic hormones are rebalanced, you'll be on the path to long-term, sustainable weight loss, because Tetragen is the first in the world which is scientifically formulated with four clinically proven and patented active ingredients to help you reach your targeted weight in two distinct phases. Phase one, rebalance your metabolic hormones, and phase two, accelerate fat loss. The best part is that Tetragen comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee. So what do you have to lose besides weight? Learn more with the link below.
I was going to say, let's get to the third life-changing, because this is the one I think that really put you on the map. And maybe I'm wrong here, but didn't you do a TED Talk on this? And people have just been really fascinated with your third life change. The other two are amazing too, and a lot of people go through all that as well.
Yeah.
But your third life change really was quite remarkable. Can you talk about that?
Sure. So people understand what happened, is that I was driving down the road in rush hour traffic on the freeway here in the Denver area. We were going probably 50, 55. Everybody was going at a clip. And then everybody came to a stop, including me, except for the one-ton commercial truck behind me. And that rear-ended my stopped half-ton truck at about 30, 40 miles an hour, enough to bend the frame of the truck. And it was a huge jolt. I think the hip issues that I developed because my foot was on the brake. I had two vertebrae in my neck, 4 and 5, that were going then forward instead of backward. And it really, it was a brainstem because my head jerked backward. And it felt like my brain went forward and then went poof to the side. So it was... I could feel pain within seconds. And what was fascinating to me, when we can hang on to stuff like this that happens in traumas or things like that, is that when I sat there and the hit was over, there was this thought that immediately came to me that I was going to be meeting people I was supposed to meet. And I was going to be introducing people that we're supposed to meet. Where that stuff comes from, I don't know. But that happened. And I had ice in a cooler with me. I put it on my neck. I was able to, well, I'll back up a little bit. I had a feeling of waking up. So I don't know how long I was out, but I was out for a short period of time. But I was out and I had a feeling of waking up, and I didn't have awareness in a lot of ways at that time because I went to step on the gas pedal to try to get off the highway and didn't realize that the car had stopped, or my truck had stopped. And then I came to a little bit more and I realized the truck was stopped, and I began to sense how I was unaware as well as aware. And I made it safely off to the middle in the, you know, middle of the highway, off to the median, on, I guess that's called that, on the middle of the highway. And the truck followed me over. I was able to get out and talk, but I didn't know how much I didn't know. And I was taken to the hospital. Later on, the medical doc that examined me said that if he'd known that I was hit hard enough to bend the frame of the truck, he would have classified it from a mild TBI to a moderate TBI, which is a huge difference, which is more like what I began to exhibit. I was in a neck brace for a long time. I began to have sensory sensitivities, the water in the metal sink in my kitchen. I could end up on the floor in tremors. I couldn't tolerate even the sheets as I rolled over in bed or the heat coming on in the house. All the curtains got shut because I couldn't handle the light. All of the doors either were totally open or totally shut because I couldn't handle the lines. The pictures came down off the wall. And then when you're the one that's injured, you have no idea how you're showing up. So you can show up weird sometimes, really weird. I was doing events. And
I think you could show up weird even when you're not injured. But anyways, I have to throw in that little...
yeah, that's fine. I agree.
Maybe it's an injury, but it's different.
It's a little, it's, well, maybe it really depends on what's happened in your life. But I, you know, like when you have a stroke, I guess at this event, and it was soon after the accident, I guess I was talking as if I'd had a stroke, because what I said must not have made sense, or it sounded like, or something. And here I am, I'm the owner of the business, I'm at an event, and I'm supposed to be normal. And I had a woman run away from me as if she'd seen a ghost. And I have no idea, but it was not normal. And I learned to be just graceful with myself and with others, that the only way that I could know that I was showing up strange was from the feedback from outside me, because I didn't have the ability to comprehend it inside me yet, because the circuitry wasn't working enough. And so to just be kind to yourself, and if somebody looks at you really weird, just take in the best awareness that you've got. And for me, I'd say God bless, and let's see what can happen the next time.
Because, okay, so you had a traumatic brain injury, and you had to rebuild your circuitry in your brain. Did you get to a point where you realized that, okay, my brain is a problem? And how did you go about rebuilding it?
Would it be all right if I share a slightly different language?
Absolutely.
Okay, cool. Thank you. So the language we speak, I've mentioned that, we literally sentence ourselves. So if you can be aware that when you use a certain word and see how it registers in your body, whether your body drops down or kind of shrinks away or comes forward or feels more uplifted. So the word problem, okay, when we say no problem or even no worries, we're actually really just kindly meaning, we're meaning happy to, we're meaning, of course, we're meaning. But so if I thought of my brain as having a problem, then I'm contracting into an as having a problem, which then I'm focusing on what I'm not wanting it to be. So I'm enhancing the neurology building me having a problem. So I can notice that I'm got challenges. I can notice that I'm off. But if I look at it all as an opportunity, then I'm wired. And that doesn't mean I didn't cry. That doesn't mean I didn't get depressed because your chemistry's off. That doesn't mean I didn't get frustrated. That doesn't mean, but you don't camp out there. You let it pass. And if I can focus on where the opportunity, what's the opportunity in this, you know, all the bricks falling down, right? Then I get a chance to choose what bricks I keep, what bricks I throw away that I don't want anymore. I get a chance to be wired for the opportunity to connect in any moment better than I was before, because that's where my calling is. At 3 months, or was it at 3 months, I noticed that I didn't have my sense of humor, and I have one. I got a big one. I noticed that I didn't have my sense of humor. And I actually put my hands on my head and I said, okay, guys, okay, come on. We're building my sense of humor. You know what to do. We're building my sense of humor. And within 6 months, it began to show up. And I'm 12 and a half years out now.
So you're pretty much telling us that attitude is almost everything. The way you look at this and your attitude, the can do, I can do this, and then started applying it, made all the difference?
It's definitely attitude, choice, and that doesn't mean you discard the pain, but you learn how to help yourself through it with techniques that really can help it be easier and faster. Okay. It's perception. Is your perception really serving you? Is what a doctor is telling you? I could say, you know, I've been diagnosed with, or it appears to the doctors as if, or I've had an injury. Okay. I will not say damaged. Mm-mm. Damaged is permanent. Mm-mm. I will not go there. So I have an injury. And then in my wordplay way, when you have an injury, the jury is in. The jury is all in here. And so it's what you make of it. It's building the muscle, and it's an opportunity to find strength beyond maybe anything you've ever known. It's an opportunity to really examine your perceptions and what's really in service and what's not, for your healing, your wholing, your well-being, the well-being of how you show up in the world, the differences you can make in the world. And then, which involves also attitude. And a lot of people use attitude and they make it up here. It's your whole body. What's a living, embodied, aligned, congruent presence that you can now become? And I'll share this, that there are some habits and things that I had. I mean, Earth School is always in session, okay? There are some habits that I had, which I was wanting to change. And in order to really get well, I had to change. And I want to say one other thing at the moment is that head injuries, unlike your arm or your leg, I was going, okay, in 6 months, in a year, I'll be totally fine. And I found out that was not the way that my situation worked. Okay. And then where I went was this. Okay. So it's taking longer. And I spent a little bit of time getting frustrated, but I went, hang on a sec. What are the values and benefits of the fact that it's taking longer? And the values and benefits that I found was I get a chance to choose and re-choose to deeper and more congruent and more powerful and more integrated and more whole and more healthy ways than I've ever been. And I'm now at a point where I still have a little bit of sensory sensitivities, and I think I put my hands on, which I want to play with a little bit longer, and then I can come back and let you know that I would, you know, recommend it. But I've only been playing it with it for 3 weeks. And it's a very simple thing. But my head injury is improving. My hip is improving. My energy is better. I'm sleeping better. My arthritis is improving. So I want to play with this item a little bit longer, and then I'd be happy to recommend it. Yeah.
I want to talk about some things that are very, you know, it's been around forever in our society, but it just seems so much more present lately. And that is identity politics, where there's always this victim. And, you know, whether it's sexism, which, you know, they put us as the victim, whether it's racism, whether it's whatever it is. And it always seems like it's always in the forefront of politics. And to me, it seems like that in itself is sexist and racist, and it puts the victim into that constant state of I'm a victim. And you're saying, based on what you're saying, it's like, okay, the whole framework is wrong. Can we look at that issue and say, okay, how would you reframe that whole issue and make it a much more productive thing so that we can truly get to something that's functional for society and stop being victims?
Well, people can attempt to make us victims, and then to recognize when we take on the conditioning too. And I'll relate it in a minute to the insurance company and how people are in this whole car accident thing. You're called the victim. Okay. Now the man that hit me and the man that owned his company is not called a perpetrator in that sense. In other situations, they would be called that, but these are names and cognitive constructs that are created, which really help keep us divided, help keep us against, help keep us in an inaccurate way separate. The air now on one side of the world has been shown to show up on the other side of the world next week and back around the following week. I've spoken at our city council meetings, and I really am drawn to find ways to have us realize how connected we are, because then it's not this or that, it's all and. That all of us sitting in that room, 100, 200, 300 of us, no matter what our perspectives are, and I also say double meaning meant that I'm grateful my left hand and my right hand do not fight and argue across the aisle of my body every day. It makes for a much healthier constitution. Okay. That we're all living and breathing in that room for hours. We're all living and breathing the same air. We literally then have become part of each other's bodies while we sit there. We're all connected. And that these dialogues of victim and this and that, there's many of them right now. You can divide and conquer. Okay, species that collaborate survive, species that don't. It's just that simple. I'm grateful that my liver and my heart don't have an identity crisis or call each other wrong or bad because they see things differently. If they did that, I'd have a really bad day. Okay. So individually, we can become more observers of these techniques to create division and againstness and not buy them anymore. And realize that we're only a victim if we choose to identify as that conversation. And you can tell your representatives you're not interested in that conversation. And if they continue that conversation, I won't vote for you again. You know?
I love that because it's so destructive. It's doing the opposite of what they're trying to do.
I don't really, you know, everybody's probably a little different as to the means and the reasons. And a lot of us are being run by programming that we have no idea we're being run by. I've done a lot of research and personal growth work with going all the way back to the womb and gestation and what happens when we're born. And there's a phenomenal amount of research now is that if we've got any patterns that we just like, okay, come on, I'm done with this pattern. Why does it show up? It keeps happening. Come on. That the likelihood is the programming goes all the way back to the womb and your birth. And there's ways to work with that too, even if your mom or dad are not alive to share with you what happened. Your body knows. There's ways to walk through that too. Because we're used to watching a caterpillar, we're not used to being it. And in my view, we're now the cells of a caterpillar Or I heard a wonderful analogy from me the other day. When they send up rockets into space, and the booster rockets are designed to get them up into space, but those are not what's going to have them work and do what they need to do their job up in space. So there is a plan, there's a stage two, right? And the plan for stage one has already been done, and you release, in other words, release the old baggage, right? You release the old baggage or let go of who you thought you were, or conditioned you were, to become now who you're designed to be, okay? For all of us to work together so we have a planet to live on here in the next 30, 40, 50 years with as little, horror or challenge or whatever, that they, in a rocket, design and plan stage two while they're still on the ground. With us being the caterpillar, we're designing stage two while we're in stage one and going, you know, the caterpillar is amazing. And the caterpillar wouldn't know it's be the most amazing caterpillar if it knew it was going to become the butterfly consciously while it was a caterpillar. And so it's waking up the two that were designed to become a butterfly, to work together to create new systems, that to collaborate, even if we look at things differently, how can they support each other? Like my left hand and my right hand, I couldn't function nearly as well during the day if I didn't have them looking from different points of view. And every finger on every hand is a different point of view, and all the spaces in between, different point of view. So in answer to your initial question, any dialogue that is divisive, don't buy it. That tries to make you into something, to control you into buying what they want you to think you are. Don't buy it. And to realize that we really truly are connected, our whole planet's connected, and we all live and walk on common ground every day on this planet called Earth. And God bless, there's a whole bunch of us, there's many colors of flowers in a field, and that my hand has different perspectives than my foot. I wouldn't do so well if I tried to walk on my hands every day. It wouldn't work.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, it's really great, because it's something that, you know, we just have to get past all these paradigms and this crap that's thrown at us. And so I just appreciate you really bringing it full circle to, you know, how to apply these learning lessons, not only to, you know, to really help yourself and understand how you fit within the larger context of the world on what's going on. How can people get your book, learn more about you, maybe see you when you speak? Tell us about that.
Okay, thanks so much for that question. My book, well, there's a picture of it in the back. I won a couple of awards for it, which was really great. It is called Vice, V-I-C-E, Versa, V-E-R-S-A, Verse, V-E-R-S-E, Vice Versa Verse, Inspiring Twists on How to View Your Life and Fill Your Soul. It is done in short little bites, so it doesn't require lengthy reading. You can even open the book to where you're drawn. There's a little process that you can do, and you often get life-changing messages. There's like 77 little messages in there, some longer than others, some funny, some insightful. And that also comes with over 30 minutes of recordings of 16 of the verses to 16 different tracks of music that of verses that I performed around the world, like the Global Healing Conference in Bali or the, you know, in Washington and things like that. So it's been called just enhances calm and peace and clarity and that kind of thing. I would recommend that you go to my website, kimconrad.com, KIMCONRAD.com. And on the homepage, you have access to listening to a section of the recordings, just a little snippet. You also have access, if you're in the United States, order it from my website. And then I can write you a little custom message if you like. And there's also a list for Kindle and Kobo and Apple and all of the digital mediums on the website. So you can just click through and get to wherever you want to. If you're out of the United States and you would like a physical copy, then I recommend you go to Amazon.com and just Google in the field there in Amazon, Vice Versa Verse, V-I-C-E-V-E-R-S-A-V-E-R-S-E. There you go. Say that 10 times fast. So go to Amazon.com and then order it through them. They have a few copies left and they'll order more from me and they will ship it to you wherever you are. You can read about me on my bio on my website. My Facebook page is facebook.com/Kim Conrad Visionary. And I'd love any of you that want to join me there. If you want to sign up on the website for my newsletter, I do once a month and I don't share your information with anybody else. So you won't get on a whole bunch of other email lists. I value and respect doing that. And I'd love for you to say hello and see how I can be of value and support, whether it be newsletter, Facebook, clients, read my book, let me know. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Will you stick around for a little bit for my patrons?
Absolutely. And thank you all for being here.